most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So let's go to Washington, D.C. Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, what's going on?
Well, Rick, we are just watching the news of the day.
And it has been a really crazy Monday. Not as much as I had thought, especially after the weekend of all of the stories coming out about what's going on our border. And, you know, I got to be honest, I am so tired of people going, but Obama. I don't care about Obama. I care about this. I care about Trump. I care about what they're doing right now.
Well, there's actually some mixed messages on this particular issue. There are histories to the past four or five presidents on how they handled immigration, and some of those histories would maybe surprise people. But in the actual family issue, in 2015, George Bush created called a streamlined program, which President Obama adopted, but those were programs that would allow for prosecution of people if they came illegally, to give the federal government the choice to do that or to bring them in. But in no case was there a policy of a separation, either under Bush administration officially or President Obama. There was no separation policy. This direct enforceable policy is new under this administration.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I've gotten a ton of email from conservatives saying, no, Dick Morris and, I forget who the other nitwit is who's running around screaming that, Obama did this. It's all Obama's fault. Trump's just doing what Obama did, so you liberals should shut up.
But like I said, in the research today, I couldn't find cases where now, there might have been some type of potential criminal activity where there was a juvenile, situation, detention. I mean, I understand, about how if you're going to house families and you're going to house 300 families together, then you have adults and, children together. And that can be tough. Not the same family, but other families. And that could be, worrisome. The whole system, I don't know. It's just, I don't know how they finally fix everything. Obviously neither of these bills are going to pass, neither one.
No, anyway. But how do you fix it? I mean, and what is the answer? Because look, I've got friends, I shouldn't say friends because these aren't really friends. I've talked to people who don't care. They're like, you came here, you knew this was going to happen. It happened, get over it. And I'm going, I don't think anyone knew this was going to happen. This, as you pointed out, is new policy. This is a new zero tolerance enforcement. And the other part of this, a lot of these people are coming here seeking asylum, which is different than trying to cross the border like thieves in the night.
Right. And that's where it'll take diligence for immigration to, look at, basically it's case by case and situation by situation. But again, there's nothing that they're going to pass next week, or I mean this week. I think both bills will fail. And they weren't really an entire solution. Now, one of the bills did say about where they were going to entertain about the separation policy.
I mean, at the end of this, I as I was looking over the weekend, I'm going, I know Joe Arpaio's out as sheriff. Is he taking over our immigration system? Is he the guy who's now housing these people? Because, I'd read stories that, they're setting up tent camps everywhere.
In Arizona?
Yeah.
Local?
Along the border where a lot of these places are, where they're setting up little tent camps.
Oh, okay.
It's crazy. Just crazy. I threw Arpaio in there because of his tent prison. Next is gonna, and the other thing I thought of is, in 10 or 15 years, is someone going to be asking, why do these people hate us? I mean, I was reading another Washington Post article that said that, the enforcement people, the prison guards or however you want to title them, are told not to try and console the kids, not to touch them, not to talk to them. And you go, really? 3, 4, 5, 10-year-old kids? Really?
Like I said, if people are going to be here, then they're going to have the ability to take care of people, or they have jurisprudence and it's done timely and accurately. If cases lay around 3 or 4 years, yeah, people have to be taken care of in 3 or 4 years.
It's crazy. So is there a way that this ever gets fixed? I mean, because, you know, I find myself somewhere, you know, not on either extreme of, you know, you build the giant wall, keep everybody out, or swing the doors wide open and let everybody in. Is there a happy median here? Is there somewhere that this gets fixed, or are we going to be fighting over this for the next 50 years?
I think it's going to be a long, long haul. Now, you know, they can have enhanced security, which is fine, you know, at the border. But then there's going to be a lot of cases of people that still want to, you know, be able to come here. I'll tell you what worries me, honestly, and it'll be the unforeseen, Rick. I will tell you this. I personally know of cases, personally, where people were applying for either fiancé visas or, you know, student visas or work visas, and they are being denied in droves. Now, you're not going to read about this. You're not going to hear about this anywhere, but it's happening. I mean, fact. I know it for sure. So that's the legal process. So that's being dismantled piece by piece.
Wow. So what you're basically saying is, you know, this administration is not, you know, they're slamming the door tight behind us.
Yeah, it's legal. I mean, I had a student that called me just within the last week from overseas, and he said, you know, they're denying them right one after the other. And by the way, they're not even telling them why. There were two people from Dharamsala, India, Tibetans, to come to Miami of Ohio, a full ride scholarship worth $150,000 each, denied.
Wow.
For what reason? Right.
I didn't think they denied any student visas.
Oh, yeah, denied.
You know,
absolutely.
Especially when you're talking about that kind of money.
I know them because the one was standing crying in the street asking me if there's anything could be done. So, you know, these aren't, you know, they're not from, quote, terrorist country or such a thing. And it's happening. So there's your, you know, when it's one thing if you want to talk about, you know, security, and I'm with you. I'm somewhere in the middle. You want to talk about it. But what about the legal immigration? They're trying to, you know, contain that.
So not only are you trying to slam the door on the undocumented people coming across, even the people who want to come here the right way. And for all those people who say, you know, my grandparents and great-grandparents, they came here the right way. And I'm going, well, I got to be honest, my ancestors, they came on a boat. I don't know if it was the right or wrong way. They just showed up.
Well, and then here's the other problem. Nobody is going to dig into what I just told you. Nobody. They're not going to get statistics. They're not going to know. It's going to be done by faceless people in embassies across the world because it's a wink and nod thing.
Wow.
And they don't even have to tell you why.
And you wonder why they hate us.
Yeah, so it's just like, where's this headed to?
Crazy. Let's move on. Gerrymandering. The two Supreme Court cases today evidently remanded back.
Yeah, I don't know where this all ends, too. I don't think the court will ever be able to solve it, probably. You know, you have movements in states, fair redistricting. We had one in Ohio 3 or 4 different times, I guess.
We've had them.
Yeah, you've got one now. And I don't think that the court for a long, long time is going to intervene and say, this is what we are going to tell. You know, they might intervene and say, you have to have X amount of percentage of districts, and they'll still look at the minority voters or something. But I just don't think that they're going to step in and do anything with this.
Yeah, I thought if there was ever going to be a chance, it would be now, because you had two cases on opposite ends of the political spectrum. You had one of a Republican state and one of a heavily Democratic gerrymander. And this would have been kind of going, hey, these extremes are too much. There's got to be something more towards the middle. And they chose not to. They chose not to do anything.
Right. They just punted it.
I think there's only, what, another week or two left in this term?
Yes.
And they've got a ton of cases yet that have not been rolled out. I guess there's Thursday and Monday that may be possible, because I'm waiting for the Janus decision to be rendered. And today I was going, maybe today. And no.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, you're on that case a lot. I was going to ask you if you thought that was coming.
I said from the very beginning when it was heard that it will be the very last thing decided, as they're running out the door, they'll go, "Oh, hey, by the way," and throw it behind them. Because I think it could be that kind of toxic and that kind of to get people riled and into the streets, and as I believe it should.
Right, it's a huge case.
It's enormous. It changes the fabric of this country, and it changes our government saying that we encourage collective bargaining. It's a massive shift from the New Deal era labor peace to a 19th century kind of labor environment, which is not a good one. Let's move on. Food stamps on the decline. Is that accurate?
Well, they are on the decline, but I guess we have to look at the particular reasons why, and it's not necessarily all, economic. I think some of the enforcement or the crackdown on it may have something to do with those stats, too.
Yeah, with 3.9% or 3.8 or whatever it is now, you would expect food stamps to come down. But as I was reading through it, it's not for the reasons that we think, because there are so many low-wage workers that have to go and ask for food stamps because all the jobs that people have, and with all the low unemployment, they're still not putting enough money in the pocket to put food on the table.
Right. Underemployment, and it's big. And so that, creates an awful problem for people.
I mean, it's crazy.
Underemployment.
And to me, the idea of food stamps is actually a really good idea in my view, because you can only buy it on certain things. It's meant to help feed families, especially children. The party of family values should be all in this. And, oh, by the way, it has a massive, massive reverberation effect across the economy and enriches the very wealthy. They should be thrilled to death about it.
Sure. I would assume.
It just seems to me so mean-spirited. And we wonder why suicide rates have gone up. We wonder why, a lot of this negative stuff, just keeps skyrocketing as
anger and dissatisfaction and everything else that comes along with it. And, people can't, somebody said to me the other day, certain wages were good. Well, if you just take base insurance, rent, automobile, and I'm not talking new, and automobile insurance, utilities, you're about there.
it's inflation has gone up. I know they say it hasn't, but just the cost of to live has gone through the roof.
And absolutely,
ask anybody trying to figure it out. And look, I'm explaining this to my oldest daughter, who's she's 16. She's thinking about, hey, a couple of years down the road, I'm gonna get my own apartment. I'm gonna have my own car. Life is gonna be great. I'm gonna do what I want when I want. And then you start explaining, this is the cost. And she's like, well, because she's got a good job. She's making $10 an hour as a 16-year-old. And you go, she's like, oh, I got all this money. I'm going, it's not that much.
Right.
It's great when you're 16. When you're 21, it's going to be a struggle.
Right. Exactly.
It's crazy. And finally, some Trump buddies could be in a little hot water. Add them to the list, really?
Well, Roger Stone and Mike Caputo, and I don't understand why Roger Stone wants to go out and talk about all these things. Now, what the story is saying is that he has said one thing about this Russian contact who wanted $2 million to give them dirt on Hillary Clinton. And then the question is, did he tell more of that, or he told Mueller's people that he didn't have that contact? So I don't know why they are insistent on going out and, saying those types of things, because if they did do that with the Fed, then it could be a perjury charge.
Yeah. My grandfather always said, you have the right to remain silent. Use it.
It's true. Well, he's not using it. Roger Stone, him anyway. He likes to talk.
Oh, no, he loves to be the center of attention. And he, I've met him a couple of times, likes to believe he's the smartest guy in the room.
And he likes to be outrageous, and he's been known to tell, whopping lies.
That's why I think he fit really so well in with this administration.
I don't say, the mistruths, but whopping lies. Roger's done it. He's done it against Republicans.
As my grandfather would say, there's a guy who'd lie when the truth would be better.
Be better, true.
Scary, scary stuff. We can hopefully add them to the line of folks I'm hoping will be perp walked in the Trump parade of convicted folks after the Mueller investigation wraps up.
Well, something's coming.
Which I'm hoping is soon. I'm told to be on my toes this or next week, so we'll see where it goes.
Yes.
Bob, I appreciate the time. Great stuff.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Radio of, for, and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.